This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome to The Bunker. I'm Chris Jones. Social media has taken over much of our lives. People of all ages lose hours every day scrolling through various posts on various platforms. But when you sign up to a new platform like Facebook or Instagram, do you actually read the small print? Do you know what data is collected and how? And most importantly, do you know where that data could end up? These questions are the basis of a recent US bill that proposes to ban the Chinese-owned platform, TikTok. Is this concern justified? Should we be terrified of TikTok? Or is all of this just a form of political warfare against China? Well, Will Guyot is one of the UK's leading journalists when it comes to explaining anything tech-related and often appears on LBC and the BBC and everything in between. And he joins me now in the bunker. Hi, Will.
Hi, Chris.
So let's start with something quite simple, quite straightforward in a way. Who actually is TikTok? Who runs it?
Well, that's a really interesting question because it is slightly complex. So TikTok is owned by a company called ByteDance, and ByteDance was founded in 2016. Mm. Now, the interesting thing about TikTok is it has an almost identical app in China. There's an almost identical app called Douyin. Mm. Is owned by the same company. They are separate apps, but they share a lot of the same DNA. And ByteDance, the company, does have a very small percentage is actually owned by the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
But as a company, 60% of ByteDance is actually owned by the company itself, and you have a number of investment platforms and a number of investment companies also have shareholdings within the company. Not all of those are Chinese. There's some international companies, there's some US companies in there.
Yeah.
It gets slightly complicated because it's one of these examples where for tax purposes, part of it's based in the Cayman Islands and da 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 da. So the suspicion begins there. If you're somebody that believes China equals bad, you soon look at, you know, the fact that it's not typically stationed in Delaware or somewhere. There is part of the company, the international business is based in Delaware, but then parts of it are owned in the Cayman Islands. That's Delaware in the US. So there's sort of a complex, very complex ownership structure, which causes many people to say, oh yeah, you're just owned by the Chinese Communist Party, aren't you? Which is not strictly true.
And then there's also some more controversy that comes about when you compare the two apps as well, isn't there? Like Douyin, for example, in China is quite heavily regulated and by what I can tell, quite educational in terms of the content that is put out there. And China has a massive police of, well, tech police, I guess you could describe them as, whereas TikTok seems a little bit more as it is. It seems less regulated in a way, doesn't it? So is it fair to say that there's controversy around how both of these apps work, even though they're owned basically by the same company?
Yeah, there is. And Douyin is in a filing recently because there was some new laws came in China last year, and they effectively had to reveal how the algorithm worked. And that's the thing that gets everybody excited because it's a bit like the Colonel's secret recipe. You don't really reveal it, but they kind of explained in a rudimentary way, they explained how their algorithm worked in China. And they were specifically saying at the time that Douyin offers tips and skills for personal growth.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much personal growth I've got from using TikTok over the last number of years. But on the opposite side of that, like TikTok is used a lot more for kind of creativity and art. We've had musicians who've gone on to make, you know, mainstream awards, pick up mainstream awards, found their fame on TikTok, whereas Douyin is quite different.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit more about TikTok specifically and data. What kind of data does TikTok collect from its users? Because this is the big controversy, really, isn't it? What is TikTok taking from its users? And should we be worried about the data that it does collect?
Well, so they're collecting information about the videos, the photos, and the audio. They can identify stuff like the objects that appear in your images and the scenery. It can actually use the GPS data to reveal exactly where that picture was taken, for right. example. But that's fairly normal when you compare it to any of the US-owned social platforms. So that on its own is not unusual. What is interesting is the suggestion from many people with very little evidence that this routinely happens. There is this continued suggestion that because the company has a Chinese operation too, the information from TikTok is routinely hopping over a wall into China, and all of that data is being washed, analyzed, and processed by the Chinese state. Now, there's been one or two examples reported where staff in China have basically had super duper admin keys, which have enabled them to access information about a couple of accounts in the US. But we've had similar indiscretions in Meta businesses, Twitter, and in other companies when those with the strongest administration rights are able to find information out about personal data. And that would not be, although illegal, happens everywhere, not just in a Chinese business. Those sort of data breaches routinely happen in Western-owned businesses too.
Yeah, and that was going to be one of my questions, was how does the privacy policies that TikTok has compare to the likes of Instagram and Facebook, which, from what you're saying, sounds like it isn't too different at all, yet we're hearing more right now about Western governments wanting to ban TikTok more than the likes of Instagram and Facebook, aren't we?
Unless you're Donald Trump,
yes.
Who's decided in the last couple of weeks that because clearly either Trump-based content doesn't perform on the platform or he's calling in the grudge from when he got banned. He recently described Meta as the enemy of the state, which is quite a switch round when you consider Trump was trying to ban TikTok in 2020. The challenge you face here and the challenge I face when I'm talking about this is everybody kind of mistakes me trying to put both sides of this argument across as being some kind of closet communist or somebody operating for the Chinese Communist Party. All I try to do, Chris, is point out the rabid inconsistencies because you've got Joe Biden saying, I'm going to support this act in the US, which we'll talk about in a minute, to ban the app. But at the same time, he's using it to campaign for the US election. He's using it to communicate to that younger audience who wouldn't normally see a political ad or vote in any other way. And at the same time, a year or so ago, when Number 10 Downing Street banned TikTok from ministers' phones, they, the same day, were running a sponsored advert on TikTok to encourage people to find out about what Rishi Sunak did in Number 10. So you find yourself in this situation where if it really was as evil as perhaps is being suggested, how come we're still using it? And if it really is as evil as they suggest, why are we doing nothing about reducing Chinese influence on other areas of technology? We are now having concerns about politicians being hacked, kind of unclear suggestions that China may have put out some of the misinformation about the recent health scare with Princess Kate and that kind of, with no real evidence. This is the challenge that we face, because on the opposite side of that, our consumer technology, using the iPhone, for example, I'm a regular user of smartphones and any technology. The latest iPhone, the iPhone 15, has more Chinese-made components than any other iPhone ever made. So that isn't reversing from China. Mm-hmm. That looks like we're going head on into deeper relationships with them.
Let's move on to the US then, as you mentioned it there, and especially with what you said about Joe Biden using TikTok to basically run some of his campaign, yet saying that he would sign the bill that's currently just gone through the House that would place a nationwide ban on TikTok. It seems very strange in a way that he would say that he would ban it, but yet is still using it very openly. Let's just touch on that bill, though. What's in it? And essentially, if it was passed all the way to Biden's desk and he signed it, what would happen?
So we've got the headlines by saying it results in a ban for TikTok in the US. The reality is what the US House of Representatives and, you know, government, etc., are going to force if this goes through is that they want ByteDance to divest ownership of the platform.
Yeah.
And depending on what you read, Microsoft might be interested. Some people have even said OpenAI, the people behind ChatGPT, could be hugely interested in it now, given that it would give them an awful lot of information to train its AI algorithms on, which is another data question, which you have further down the line if your information that you've put into this app is suddenly being used to train something which is ultimately going to be worth billions and billions of dollars additional. And what will happen is it will need to be sold to US-owned companies. So the other suggestion randomly was Oracle. Now, Oracle are big in the networking space. They've got a guy called Larry Ellison who owns that company. He's seen as a kind of trusted, safe pair of hands because he's like in his 70s, but runs a big tech company. So this is the idea that it goes out of Chinese hands. And we've had some really bizarre situations in various sessions over the last year or so in Congress when the CEO of ByteDance has gone in to talk about the company. He's from Singapore. Yeah, and there have been moments where, like, you've had congressmen screaming at him saying, "Are you a supporter of the Chinese Communist Party? Are you a communist?" And he has to say, "Sir, I'm actually from Singapore. I've lived in Singapore all my life. And what you're suggesting to me is simply not true." So I believe that the company itself looks to run independently. I truly believe that. Full disclosure, I previously worked for Facebook and Meta. I worked there. I was the second international employee for Instagram back in 2014 when it went through an international expansion. And I was there for a number of years. I was there for 2 or 3 years. And I have to say, my experiences externally of working with the social networks in my job now as a journalist, I get really quick responses from the team at ByteDance. I get open responses. They apologize when they've made a mistake. Their statements appear to be much more collaborative.
Yeah.
They're investing huge amounts of money into the arts in the UK and Europe. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that there isn't something going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of, but they're actually far more collaborative than the networks that we're supposed to be being seen as the kind of safe and secure options.
Yeah, you mentioned Shouzi Chu there, who's the CEO of TikTok, and mentioned about him being Singaporean. He's also served in the Singaporean military, I think, for 2 years, which also really confused the US Congress that was questioning him. It's almost as if they had done zero research, which really isn't that much of a shock, to be honest, when you see how that's all run in the first place. This bill has now passed the House. How has TikTok responded to it? Does it see it as a threat, as a major threat to itself?
I think it's currently in a situation of being surprised how it's got to this position.
Yeah.
It strongly denies any of the suggestions. It talks up the fact that there's a really big kind of creators community now on the platform. You know, hundreds of thousands of people around the world make their living from this platform now. You've got around 200 million Americans using it every month. And aside from these sort of weird suggestions that it's hypnotic and kind of brainwashing you from congressmen who don't know how to use a phone and have literally had to have Mark Zuckerberg explain how social media works on a number of occasions, and it clearly didn't go in, I'm not sure what the allegations are here other than China are bad and we shouldn't share our information with China. Yet in so many other ways, information is being routinely shared with Chinese companies, you know, until 2 weeks before the UK government did a 360 and said that Huawei, the telecoms provider, had to be removed from all the 5G networks.
Yeah.
Huawei equipment was being publicly recommended. Police stations in the UK have been told to remove Chinese CCTV from, you know, police stations and from council premises across the UK. Council spending guidelines and council procurement guidelines 2 or 3 weeks before this happened suggested using cheap Chinese CCTV equipment. So you find yourself in a situation where, by saying the posture seems to be changing globally against China, is this because there is genuinely a concern about the level of data and information that's freely exchanging, or people believe is being freely exchanged within TikTok? Or is this purely geopolitical? Is this about a bigger feeling that we shouldn't do anything to benefit China? You know, at one stage when Donald Trump was definitely seeking to ban TikTok, it was about stopping a Chinese organization because the US was best. That was very much the Trump stance. But funnily, Trump's view has changed since he's realized the impact and power that TikTok has in campaigning for him.
And there's also, to add to that, is it Jeffrey Yass, I think, who has a stake in TikTok, who's also just helped to kind of revive Truth Social, obviously has a lot to do with Donald Trump in that sense. So do you think we're potentially, we could see a pivot from Donald Trump towards being more positive towards TikTok, perhaps?
Well, he already has been. I think he's already said he's no longer the enemy. And if you're referring to Mark Zuckerberg as the enemy of the state, I think you've clearly changed your stance quite markedly. But in terms of where this goes and what this actually means globally, if somebody, I'm a believer in, unless it's something that's of absolute importance to national security, give us examples of what you truly say is happening here. Because there have been some suggestions from an Australian security company that there's been some information routinely being handed between the international ByteDance business and the business in China. And the company has confirmed that there have been one or two isolated examples of that happening, but that it's not a regular occurrence. Unless you've got something else which suggests something deeper, why would you stop so many people wanting to use this app? It's not being used by a handful of people. It's being used by over 2 billion people. And if you ban it, let's say, for example, no, for some reason or other, either ByteDance say we're not divesting or selling to a US company, or no deal happens, and it gets banned from iPhones and gets banned from both the app stores, the major app stores in the US. What then happens? Does this turn into an underground app? Do people start using VPNs everywhere, virtual private networks, like get used in China and Russia and in other countries? I mean, there's sort of so many really interesting questions that come from this. And the law in the US, without going into too much of a rabbit hole, essentially can be extended to any service of under foreign ownership that the US government essentially does not like. That is where it gets to its scariest point. In that, if there is another app, let's say suddenly, for example, there's a diplomatic fallout with the UK and there's a popular English app in the US, it would not be a stretch to suggest that that could be pulled too.
And I'm glad you mentioned the UK, because I want to go there now. Let's just say that this bill goes all the way, Biden signs it, and it's passed into law, and TikTok is essentially banned in the US. What does the UK do then? Does the UK follow suit? Because it seems as though anything the US does in this kind of way, the UK follows, especially when it comes to China. So what do you think the UK would do if this bill passes? Or is the UK already showing signs of wanting to get rid of TikTok from its borders?
It's been banned from politicians' phones.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if our government will have the guts to try and ban this from the phones of young people, because they know what will happen. They know that there will be absolute, I wouldn't say anarchy and riots on the streets, but I would say there will be a great deal of disquiet and unhappiness from a fairly significant part of the population now. And I know that some people would be raising their eyebrows at that and saying, codswallop. But let's not forget what happened in 2012 with, you know, that was with BlackBerry Messenger at the time, and there was community there that were able to stir up those riots in London based on different matters and different reasons. But what I think is important here is there is a huge community now built around TikTok and an economy, essentially. And I don't know whether or not our country would push the button on that. I think we're entering into very interesting times, given that one of the headlines on one of the national newspapers the other day was the suggestion that Chinese manufactured electric vehicles could suddenly be used to block main roads and infrastructure if there was ever a conflict with China, ignoring the fact that the same technology has been used from Chinese companies in Western vehicles for the last decade.
Yeah.
So there is this growing anti-Chinese sentiment somewhere in the world of politics and in the world of kind of policy and briefing the national press. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is set to be some sort of attempted restrictions into TikTok. But I also know that the government would have a problem on their hands if they actually tried to follow it through.
Also, just to touch on something that's happened recently is the cyber attacks. I think Dowden said recently that the government had pinned two recent cyber attacks in the UK on Chinese entities. What impact will that have on the stance that the UK takes towards China when it comes to tech? And do you think if anything changes there, that will have a knock-on impact on TikTok?
Yeah, it will. I expect it will ratchet up the tensions and the pressures and the suggestion that China equals bad. But as I said when we opened, the fact that we're now actually up to here in terms of Chinese technology in all of our homes, our offices, our businesses, our infrastructure, that seems like the more urgent problem than suggesting that an app be banned. I don't see any massive investment in semiconductors or bringing the production of tech back in-house. In fact, I see more evidence of us losing control and sovereignty, you know, items created in the UK in the world of technology. So things don't quite connect here. And whilst I'm sure all of this is being done behind the scenes and cybersecurity, I'm sure will remain confidential for national security reasons, I'm in this point now where I've never been too much of a cynic and don't agree with what the government says, but I'd like to start seeing some information about what they've got in front of them that means this is so important to us.
And then just finally, just globally, how do you see the future of TikTok? Do you think that this is a bump that it needs to get past and after that everything will be fine? Or do you think that this bump is too great? And, you know, we've seen countries like India, for example, that have banned the app. Do you think that we will continue to see this debate over whether the app should be banned in multiple countries for a lot longer? Or do you think once we're past the elections and once we're past the campaigning and everything has died down a little bit, we won't be having this conversation anymore?
The Indian ban came about from diplomatic relations decreasing between India and China.
Yeah.
That's where that one directly came from. It's banned in Nepal as well.
Yes.
For a variety of understandable reasons. But I think we find ourselves in a situation whereby if it becomes US owned or is divested from Chinese ownership, that will please a lot of countries. But I'm imagining, given current global temperature, maybe other countries will decide that they don't want it with US influence. So I think there might possibly be some changes there. We're going into a sort of an interesting period in the whereby somebody asked me the other day what I thought the year ahead would be like. And I was like, it's the year of the lawyer. Tech companies are going to get bombarded with all sorts of claims and kind of laws and stuff, lawsuits that they're going to have to fight. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this all beds out. But they've got plenty enough money to fight these battles.
Yeah, well, time really will be telling for TikTok, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to use that pun. Will, thanks very much for your time. Always good to talk to you.
Cheers, Chris.
Listeners, if you like what we do and you want us to keep doing it and you aren't already backing us on Patreon, well, why not? Just £3 a month, the price of a latte, will go a long way to keeping us going. For that, you'll get our episodes ad-free and access to our exclusive merchandise. I'm Chris Jones. Thanks for listening to The Bunker.
The Bunker was written and presented by Chris Jones. The producer was Eliza Davis Beard, and the audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. The managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, and the group editor is Andrew Harrison. With music by Kenny Dickinson and artwork by Jim Parrott, The Bunker is a Podmasters production.